get them in church, and they've been talking about it and thinking about it. And so now there will be somebody not only thinking about it but praying about it. Amen. That'll be us, and see what God will do for that family. God can do great things. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1, and on Sunday, because some questions was asked Sunday night, I'm going to go into Romans chapter 1 and some other places as well, and we're going to talk about what happens when God gets done dealing with a person, which would be a very rare thing. When you think about the whole population of the world, you could find many people that God has stopped dealing with, but just to when we're talking about individuals, that's a very different story rather than groups of people. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at both of those cases on Sunday night. But tonight we are going to look in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to try to do some Bible study that I think that we all need. You don't just need preaching. You need preaching. You need preaching more than you know, and more than we could emphasize, really. You need Bible preaching, and you need Bible teaching, and you need Bible study. And so tonight we're really going to study together, and I've made it a shotgun style of study, of studying through these chapters of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Galatians and different things like that. And in Sunday school we finished 1st and 2nd Corinthians and some other places as well, the book of Daniel. And so we really need to continue not only to preach and to be evangelistic and fiery in the preaching and try to stir you up in some ways, but you'll never be able to estimate the value of just learning what the Bible says, learning what it means, and having a concrete belief system down in your heart that'll be unshakable. And the Bible calls that being established. Being established. I can't quote it enough. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. And so that's my thought tonight and my prayer. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into Ephesians chapter 1. Lord, thank you tonight for your goodness. And I do pray, oh God, that you would meet with us tonight, God, and you have met with us in the song service. And it does my heart good to hear these little children sing, and some of them are half singing, and some of them singing to the best of their ability. And then my boys stand down here just looking at the crowd and singing every 5 words or something like that. But I thank you, God, for every one of them being there and singing. And Lord, I pray you'd help them for all their days, all the days of their life, just to stay in the house of God and sing praises and glory to you. And Lord, maybe some of them be preachers and some of them be missionaries. I don't know what all you have for them to do, but Lord, we ask you, God, to do something great in their lives. And I know that'll start right here tonight with the preaching of the word. So I pray you'd help us, be very merciful to us. And Lord, we do thank you for everything that you have done. Lord, I think about these folks injured out there and killed as well out there in Las Vegas. Lord, I don't have no wish or no desire to go to such a place as Las Vegas. And it'd be easy to say by some folks that, Lord, they was in a bad place and they got what they deserved. But Lord, if we all got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. And Lord, we just pray that you'd save folks and the folks that recover. We pray, oh God, that you would save them. I know, Lord, I just realized today and was pointed out to me that those people, as they moved into that concert, got preached to. And Lord, you have all that stuff in your own power. And Lord, you know what's going on in Las Vegas. But Lord, what we have to be concerned with is what's going on right here in our little towns. And we pray you'd help us to be what we ought to be for you right here. And Lord, in order to do that, we have to know your word. We have to be established in the word and in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in that regard tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1 is a great chapter. And I say that a lot. And I guess you could say every chapter in the Bible is great chapters. But I think that the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, the book of Romans and Galatians. I could just go, it's hard for me to single one of them out. But really and truly, the book of Ephesians is one of your foundational books in the Bible as far as the New Testament's concerned. The book of Romans is going to explain a whole lot to you about salvation by grace through faith. And then the book of Galatians is going to explain to you about not letting works become a part of salvation. Works is never, ever, 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 ever going to be a part of your salvation. And once you take works and put it into the category of how you get saved, it's not going to work. You cannot get saved by doing anything except, and I know it's a technicality, but calling on the name of the Lord. You can call on His name, and if you call on His name in faith, then faith is the method that God chose to save your soul. But Galatians clears up some of that stuff. The book of Corinthians will tell you how to deal with a carnal church, carnal issues of the flesh in the church. The book of Ephesians is going to explain a lot of things to the faithful believer, the person, man, woman, boy or girl that gets in and believes on the Lord and tries to follow the Lord and do what the Lord wants them to do and just is steadfast through trials, through temptation. The faithful in Christ Jesus, the Lord is going to teach you many, 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 many things in the book of Ephesians. Then on top of that, Colossians is a sister book to this book of Ephesians. If you read the book of Ephesians, and then if you just jump right over to the book of Colossians, you can read them both in about 25 minutes. Won't take you no problem at all. Won't take you no hardly any time at all. Won't be a problem at all. Read Ephesians, then jump right over to Colossians and read that, and you will not be able to fail to see, unless you're thinking about Days of Our Lives while we're reading it, you might not see the connection. But if you'll read it prayerfully and then read Colossians prayerfully, you'll see that they fit hand in glove. And so these books are very, very foundational. They're very closely knit so that they will help you to understand a lot of things that you will never understand if you're not faithful. You have to be faithful. And the reason I say that is found in the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this is one book that's expressly written not only to the saints that are in Ephesus, the town of Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, but he adds a little phrase on the end of that statement and says, to the faithful. To the faithful. It's to the faithful. Now, it's to the whole world, saved and lost. Anybody can read the book of Ephesians. It's God's word. And it's to the church. There's no question about that. Anybody in the church can read it. But I tell you what, I want to get something out of it if I read it. I was talking to them in Bible school on Monday night about stuff you read and just don't understand. Not understanding it is not going to make me stop reading it. And you can look up the definitions all you want to, but until God opens up the meaning of a verse, what a verse is trying to convey, you're just not going to get it. But boy, I want to be able to get it. And you can be saved for absolutely for free, but it's going to take faithfulness to get. You got saved by faith. Well, it's going to take faithfulness in doing what God called you to do in order to get some revelation about some things. In other words, it amazes me that some people will not spend time studying their Bible, but yet they'll disagree with the preacher about some doctrine. Hey, I don't believe the Bible says that. I don't believe, but they hadn't spent the time studying God's Word, and not only studying God's Word, it's more than just reading the Bible. It's reading and application. Read the Bible and apply it to your life. Read the Bible and apply. You say, well, I read the Bible every day. Yeah, but if you're just a hearer of the Word and not doers only, you're not faithful. That's not faithfulness. You say, well, I'm being faithful to read. Yeah, but why are you reading? Just because God said to? You say, well, that's good enough for me. Well, if that's good enough for you, then He also said apply it to your life. So it makes sense that if you're really sincere about reading your Bible and not just reading it because it's a rule, if you read your Bible and apply it to your life, that will make you faithful. When you do the things that God tells you to do, the Lord said, you call me Master and Lord, and he said, so I am, but you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say. Well, see, that's a great big point. That's the issue. You not only get God's word, but you apply it in your life, and you do that on a regular basis so that the Bible is your lifestyle. Well, then that just basically means that's the meaning of faithfulness. That's the meaning of being faithful. And so there are some things in this book that God has directed toward the faithful. And once you become a believer, once you begin to apply the things of God to your life, God has a way and God has a plan for building you up and establishing you in such a way that you'll be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's a great way to be. A lot of people are not steadfast. They're not unmovable. And what is the chief mover of Christians? What is the chief mover of unfaithful Christians? That's emotion. And it'll be up 1 minute and down 1 minute, and you'll be happy 1 minute and sad 1 minute, and you'll be glad 1 minute and depressed 1 minute. And that's just the flesh. You're never going to change that. Never. The most faithful man that you ever see in your life has a roller coaster flesh. I mean, he has a roller coaster set of emotions. But you have to go beyond that, and to go beyond that is to yield yourself to the Spirit, yield yourself to the Word of God, do those things that He commands you to do, and do them continuously if you feel good or don't. And the Bible expresses that ultimately when He says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. And most of the time when we read that verse, we apply it to some people like it and some people don't, and some people want to hear it and some people don't. Well, sometimes you want to tell it and sometimes you don't want to tell it. Sometimes you want to preach and sometimes you don't want to preach. Sometimes you've got plenty to say and sometimes you're scratching your head trying to figure out what to say next. Sometimes you preach and never miss a beat, and sometimes you preach and what am I going to say next? And oh my goodness, I should have studied just a little bit more. And but you're in season and out of season. Sometimes you're faithful, or sometimes you know what to say and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you got it and sometimes, like the old candy bar, Almond Joy's got nuts and Mounds don't. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. Amen. I like the ones with the almonds in it myself. The ones just with the coconut stuff in the middle, that's a waste of space. Amen. Got to have something in there. But anyway, any rate, I used to eat them things 4 or 5 pecks a day while I was driving a tow truck, but that catches up with you after a while. Go home and you're in a nervous... What's the matter? He hopped up on sugar. At any rate, let's move on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So let me encourage you tonight to be faithful. Just be faithful. The Lord, one of his chief characteristics is faithfulness. He's merciful today. He'll be merciful tomorrow. He'll be merciful the day after that. He's patient. He's long-suffering. The Bible says he doesn't change. He changeth not. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that's just different ways of saying that he is faithful. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be the same every day. You're not going to feel the same every day, but sometimes you've got to go above and beyond what you feel and just do it because it's your duty to do. And I'd rather serve God out of love. I'd rather serve God out of zeal. But sometimes you have to serve God out of duty. You have to do what's right because of duty. And the person that can serve him when he's zealous, and then when the zeal flags, when the zeal begins to waver, and he picks up what he's supposed to do because it's his duty to do it, that's who we call faithful. And that is the person that God is going to reveal stuff to because he knows they'll be able to use it. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is also required. So when you show the Lord that you're going to be faithful and that you're going to take up the cross and follow him, you're going to take up the burden and you're going to bear other people's burdens and you're going to be steadfast and unmovable, the Lord's going to say, well, there's a man that's going to work. I'm going to give him something to work with. The Lord says in the Gospels, he said, a sower went out to sow. And then he taught him, he said, Some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground. He said, but the sower that went out to sow, he said, that seed that was sown, that's the word of God. Some received it joyfully. Some received it and it grew up and withered away because it didn't have root. Well, the sower went out to sow. That shows you a picture of a man with the big old seed sack on his back, and he's got plenty of stuff. Well, the more you'll be faithful, the more God will give you to. Seemed like yesterday, Brother Calvin had come over to my house about three or four times and disced up my garden for me. And then Brother Curtis was in town the other day, and he stopped and pulled his tractor off the trailer and went out there and did some more work in my garden. So yesterday, I was out there planting my greens. And I don't think I was too late, but I finally got them in the ground. Well, you know, I wasn't out there with a big old 10-pound bag of mustard seed. It was about this big. It come from Ace Hardware. And it was about that wide and had a little zip tie. And I'm going... I could barely get my fingers in there. I let Reese get his fingers in there a couple of times and get some of it out. But here I am. I'm just sowing these little seeds. Just, and everybody's seen what these little mustard green seeds are, just little bitty things. So, you know, it doesn't take a big bag to get. I think I sowed four rows of greens. Good long rows. So we'll have greens all over the place. Brother Calvin's planted some, and I believe Brother Pedro, you put some greens in. You didn't put none in? Well, we'll have plenty. Just between me and Brother Calvin here in a few days, we might go into greens business. You can't never tell. But there'll be plenty of them. But it didn't take a lot, just a little bitty old bag. We sowed them out and some broccoli, too. Broccoli, it was just a little bit bigger, so I was able to get my hand in there good. But, see, I didn't have a 50-pound sack, so it don't always take that. But I tell you this, the more you're faithful to the Lord, the more He'll give you. And this book in particular of Ephesians was written to people expressly that are faithful. And I believe that with all my heart because there it is. There's the word right there. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. So the more you'll be faithful, the more God will give you. And He whatever He gives you, He gives you to turn around and give it out again. And so never forget that. Well, God showed me this. And me and my cousin used to talk all the time about what the Lord showed me and what the Lord showed him. And we'd talk about that stuff. And one fella said, well, it seems to me like you guys are bragging. And maybe it did seem like that to him. But I tell you this, the Lord didn't give it to us to hide under a bushel. The Lord don't reveal things to you to hide under a bushel. It wouldn't hurt nothing at all for somebody to stand up once in a while and say, well, hey, I read my Bible the other day and the Lord said this. Of course, the Bible gives us 1 Corinthians 14, says that's to be done in order and one by one. And we can't all get up and preach at the same time, but we certainly can say, well, hey, the Lord showed me this, and we ought to. And if the Lord is teaching you things out of the Bible and you're not teaching others and you're not telling it to others, well, it's like what happens to a garden that doesn't get any water. Stuff stops coming up. And so a little bit of that, the Bible says one plants, that's the witness. He says another waters, that's also a witness. The planting and the watering are both somebody making use of the Word of God. I come along and I say, now, Nathan, the Lord died for your sins. Okay, he'd never been saved before, and I said, hey, the Lord died for your sins. I planted the seed. I quote him a verse of Scripture. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's a seed sown. Now I walk away, and then the next day another preacher man comes by and says, well, hey, anybody ever told you about the Lord? See, he's pouring water on the seed. It's the washing of the word, and he says that's water, the washing of the water by the word. So the seed is the word of God, the water is the word of God, but the Bible says God will give the increase. So it's the seed that's sown needs water to be put on it, and it'll bear much fruit, and the Lord will give you. But if you stop reading the word or you stop becoming faithful, some of that stuff will begin to dry up. And I've seen that in my own life and I've seen it in the lives of others. So it's something that we've got to be careful about is our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. Got to be faithful to do it when you feel like it or when you don't. Today, I've been feeling bad all day. Last week, I told you I didn't get a lot of sleep and I think that caught up with me a little bit. And today, hadn't been feeling good at all. I said, well, I think I'll just call Brother Nathan, have him preach tonight. and I'll just stay home and take it easy and get some rest. And I said, boy, I can't do that to him. And I would have done it to him if I'd have thought about it earlier. If I'd have thought about it about 4 o'clock, I'd have done it. But I got to look at my clock and said, well, it's 5:30 already. That won't give the boy enough time to get nothing together to preach. So at any rate, you just got to do it, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. I know from time to time you might get to the place where you're too sick or something like that, but duty has to override feelings in the case of service, And then you get sick and the Lord will understand those things. I'm not saying anything against that at all, but I'm saying what you can do, you ought to do, because He's done the same for us. The cross didn't slow Him down. The yanking out of His beard didn't slow Him down. The persecution, they called His names, they talked bad about His mother. I mean, they did everything to Jesus that you could imagine and just didn't slow Him down. Matter of fact, I think it charged Him up sometimes. I think the same thing went for the Apostle Paul. They stoned him. They took him captive and hauled him all over the place. And I mean, all sorts of things. Put him in jail. Simon Peter, they put him in jail. Seems to me like it just inspired him to do more. Amen. Well, that's the way that we're going to have to look at our lives and just say, am I faithful? Have I been faithful? Should I be more faithful? And then I think that is every one of you. You won't have to come to me and say, preacher, what do you think about my faithfulness? If you would say, God, have I been faithful? Then I'm sure He would speak right to you. I'm sure that He would. And you just take the whole air. Have I been faithful to read the Word? And the Lord almost speaks to you in that. I noticed one thing is that when I'm just in general prayer and I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, sometimes I got perfect peace and stuff like that. Sometimes I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and one of them will flash right there in my mind. It's not like it'll come there and I'll think on it and dwell on it. But if I've done a particular thing, if I saw a thing on TV that I shouldn't have saw, when I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, that image will flash back almost like it's leaving. Like it came in that way, and when I said, forgive me, like it went out that way. I'm not saying that's true. Whether it's a physical image or a mental image, Lord, forgive me my sins. Just get a mental flash of the sin that just got forgiven. am I making up more words? Forgiven. That's all right. The world needs more words. Amen. Me and George Bush going to supply them with as many as they can handle. Amen. But that's the truth. I mean, that seems to be the truth to me. When I ask the Lord, He generally shows me what is right. And when I ask the Lord to forgive me, He usually shows me what He's forgiven me of. Amen. Just to remind me. And David prayed that prayer. He said, hey, make me see. Let me see what's going on. He said, some of these sins, he said, sometimes I presume, forgive me of presumptuous things. And he said, well, Lord, just show me. And I believe the Lord will show you. And so if I ask the Lord, hey, have I been faithful in my Bible reading? He would tell me yes or no. And I'm not talking about hearing audible voices. You don't have to hear it for the Lord to speak to you. I mean, the Lord, sometimes we think of the Lord speaking, and a lot of times the voice you hear inside of your head is your own voice. I mean, I don't know what other voice, if you're hearing voices besides your own inside your head, come and see me after church and we will get you some help. We'll do our best, amen. But it seems to me like the Lord not necessarily going to talk to you in full sentences like that, but He'll use your own mind, stir your own mind. Simon Peter said He wanted to stir up your pure mind, 2 Peter chapter 1. And so I know that the Lord can do that, but it seems like the Lord's real good at confirming things in a positive or a negative way. Lord, what should I do? Should I do this or should I not? And it seems like the Lord is good at doing that. So if I said, Lord, am I reading the Bible enough? I'm sure. I mean, I'd be like, no. No, or studying enough, or what? Am I witnessing enough, or what? You know, 'cause I believe if you witness consistently, maybe not to 50 people a day. Some people think, well, if I don't talk to 50 people a day, I hadn't done my job. Well, maybe that's true. I don't know if it is or not, but I know this: after you go out and witness to somebody, You just have peace. I mean, you have peace that you've done the right thing. And I don't think the Lord's up in heaven going, well, he didn't make his quota today. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that's the way that it works. But if you just ask the Lord, have I been faithful? Or you can ask yourself. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, you really don't need the Lord to tell you. You was there when you lived your life. Yeah. Man, now, Lord, I would like your opinion. Well, what about, the Lord said, what about your opinion? Do you think you did enough? Did you think you did as you ought to have done? And so just go through your life. Second Corinthians, let's go ahead and just look at it since it's a relevant verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I do believe it is. 2 Corinthians 13. It's not that far from where we're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. It says, Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And I believe with all my heart, he's talking about if you're in the parameters, the guidelines of being faithful, the faith. He says in Jude, it's only got one chapter, so Jude chapter 1, he says that ye earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He's talking about the body, the collection of everything that we believe. So he said, if you're living you're supposed to examine yourselves to see if you're living inside the faith. See, it's different to say I have faith in Jesus or I have put my faith in Jesus and to say I'm living by the faith or I'm living by faith. Those are two different things altogether. And we preach about the fear of the Lord and all kinds of stuff like that. You've got to have that stuff, but never forget that the devils fear and they don't just believe, they fear and tremble. They believe and tremble. So a lot of times, well, I fear the Lord, so I'm okay. Are you living inside the faith? I was talking to a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people yesterday. And some of the people just say, I believe the Lord, and I'm going to do this, and I'm praying about this. And almost nothing that they said lined up with the Scripture. Nothing that they believed lined up with the Scripture. Listen, if what you believe don't line up with the Scripture, you're not living inside the faith. The definable faith. Now, the Bible says that the Lord wants you to know the height and the breadth and the depth and the width and to know the love of God that passeth understanding. So the length and the breadth and the depth, that means what you can learn, what you can know. If the love of Jesus is something that you can't fully know, then the things that you can know are, he's talking about biblical Bible doctrines, Bible things that you can measure. Here's how far this goes. Here's how high this is. Here's the parameters of this belief. It's this verse and that verse divided by this verse and this verse over here. So we're supposed to live inside the faith, or I just don't understand. You know, I keep telling you I'm going to preach a sermon called What I Found on Facebook, and I'm never going to preach it more than likely. But I'll tell you one thing I did find on Facebook. Somebody says, well, pray for so-and-so, and all these people pray, praying prayers, one prayer sent up. And you've seen that kind of stuff. Well, everybody's praying, but those are the same people that get mad when you put a verse on about modesty. Well, modesty is part of the faith, the faith. And we say you ought to, you know, not be listening to, you know, casting crows or whatever this Big Daddy Swing or whatever these guys are. I can't keep all these gospel groups straight, but you know, that's outside the guidelines of the faith. So I don't know what you're praying about. You believe in the God, but you don't believe in the principles of that God. My God and your God don't have two principles. If we do, we got two gods. That's all there is to it. Well, I was taught to believe. I don't care what you were taught to believe. It doesn't matter what you were taught to believe. If I was taught one thing and you were taught another, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. And that's why the Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. The other option, besides being in the faith, is to be reprobate. Oh, that sounds like a very bad word. Okay, define it. Well, sounds bad, don't it? If I put it on Facebook, you bunch of reprobates, all of you would be offended. Because it just sounds like a bad word, don't it? Well, it is a bad word. So you got two options. You've got to be in the faith within the guidelines of the Word of God. You can be outside of that, which is called reprobate. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And when he's talking about Jesus Christ being in you, he's not talking about the issues of salvation and the ideas of the indwelling of the Spirit. That's not what he's talking about. He said, you're supposed to examine yourselves to see if Christ is in you. In other words, he's talking about in the guidelines of, is he in your works? Is he in the things that you're professing to believe? Is he a part of those things? And if not, you're reprobate, which means to be broken all the way down, to be torn all the way down. So you're either in or you're out. And he's either in what you're doing. Have you ever heard somebody say it like this? I might not have explained it real good, but if I explain it this way, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Somebody went to a great service and they went and told somebody else. They said, we had a revival meeting last night and God was in it. That's exactly what he's talking about there. He said, you need to examine yourselves. He said, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. Jesus Christ is in your church. He's in your ministry. He's in your life. He's in your home. He's in your finances. He's in all that except you be reprobate. So he said, make sure you're inside the guidelines. Examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. Make sure what you profess is inside the faith. Make sure how you live is inside the faith. Make sure everything that you do is inside the confines of faithfulness to God's word. That's the good place to be. That's the right place to be. He said, otherwise, reprobates. He said, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So there's a lot of fleshly things about us that people can point at us and say, yeah, those people are. They act like reprobates sometimes. They look like fleshly people just like us. He said, but boy, he said, my prayer is that ye do no evil. He said, not for me, but for your sakes. And what is the context of 1 and 2 Corinthians? Just carnality in the church. So the Lord says, you've got to examine yourselves. Am I faithful? Am I being faithful like I ought to be? Am I faithful in my giving? Am I faithful in my witnessing? Am I faithful in my preaching, my teaching? Anything that you can find. In my modesty, am I faithful at? You know, some of us are modest sometimes, right? Some of us are honest sometimes. We all quit cussing for the most part, didn't we? I get jumped on for stuff I say in the pulpit, like stupid. Evidently, that's a cuss word. I say the word stupid, and I hear it before the week's over with. Well, you got another one of the kids in trouble because they said stupid. And I'm trying. No, I'm not. I'm not trying. I can't lie from the pulpit. lying preacher. Well, listen, now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Be faithful. Be faithful and God will be faithful to you. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so here is the great opening. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that goes not just to the faithful, but all the saints. And there's no question about that. But the deeper knowledge is going to go to the faithful. That portion of the book of Ephesians is absolutely directed at the faithful. But listen here. Here's something that God has for every person. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Listen, never forget. You say, Brother Mike, I will admit that I have been unfaithful in a lot of ways. And I'll admit to you that I've been unfaithful in a lot of ways. A lot of things that I believe, sometimes I believe it down here and sometimes I believe it up here. In other words, I emphasize some things sometimes very little, and then sometimes I'll get convicted about it and I'll start emphasizing it more and more. And if I know what I think I know, I think you do that sometimes too. Sometimes you get lax in an area, and then you'll get under conviction about it, and you'll say, "Well, Lord, I need to push it up here a notch." And then you'll dwell on that for 3 or 4 weeks, and you'll get that area covered. And then you'll start thinking about something else, and things tend to... We're not very good. I heard somebody say that women were better at multitasking than men, which is why they have more car accidents than men. Amen. Amen. I mean, hey, that's you bunch of wimps. But listen, you're supposed to do one thing at a time. Amen. It's better to do one thing at a time and do it well than to do a bunch of things and do it up to like women quality. All right? Yes, I'm gonna sleep well because she'll probably hit me with a rolling pin or something like that. But I'm not afraid of y'all. Not afraid. I'm not afraid of you. Amen. But multitasking. That's what they say. Women are better multitaskers. I'm going to get beat up by the back row back there. They're already looking at me like... After church, y'all go. Take care of them. Well, listen here. Multitasking. This day and age, they want you to be able to do a lot of different stuff at one time. Well, I don't think we're very good at that, male or female. I think you ought to pay attention to one. What they taught us in high school, at least the teachers that bothered to teach us anything about ethics and stuff like that, so just have to be single-minded. Get on one thing. Singleness of mind is what it's generally referred to. Get on one thing and fix it and then go to the next. And like, Lord have mercy, I have seen, y'all thought I was joking about the women, but I've seen women drive and put on makeup at the same time. And Lord have mercy, I was in the thickest part of D.C. traffic one time, and I look over and there's a guy over there, he's reading a book, and he's got both sections of the book open. He's got it pinned to the steering wheel like this, and bumper to bumper traffic, he's reading a book. How do you do that? No doubt his mother probably taught him how to do that. That's woman stuff. Is that true? Have you ever seen a man going down the highway putting on his makeup? You ain't never seen that. Y'all won't never forget this illustration. And I say it just because this. Boy, I'm going to have to really read my Bible. You're telling people about the Lord. Hey, we had great church services. You got that stuff down. Well, I really need to start reading my Bible more. And by the time you bring the Bible stuff up more, this other stuff kind of slips away. And so, well, I'm going to really put an emphasis on going out and telling people about the Lord and start doing other things and start doing that thing. The Bible reading will come down, or some other thing will come down. Get busy in your life, your physical life, your everyday life, work, building a house, I mean, whatever. Get busy on stuff like that, and church will go while this other stuff comes up. That's the truth. Because we're not multitaskers. I don't care if you're male or female. A lot of times we focus on one thing and get it straight. Well, that thing about being established is maybe not having everything way up here. See, when you hear the preacher preach, he talks about one thing, and while he's preaching about that one thing, like I'm preaching about faithfulness tonight, you think that one idea, now in your mind it's been elevated up here, but it really ain't. Listen, modesty isn't up here, and reading the Bible isn't up here, and witnessing, all this stuff's not way up high. It's even keel right across the middle. And you don't have the brains or the ability to keep all this stuff way up here all the time. It's just not. You got to eat, and your sister-in-law gives you such a hard time you can't hardly stand her, and your mother-in-law's always picking on how you're cooking, and I mean, there's your boss never thinks you do a good enough job, And whenever you do exactly what he tells you, he finds something else to fuss about. And you've got all this stuff in your life that you're never going to be able to bring it up here top notch. Jesus died on the cross because you're not top notch. So just bring all the stuff down here and do what you can. I mean, if you can't read 10 chapters a day and witness to 50 people a day, read one chapter a day and witness to 5 people a day. Just do what you can do and be faithful at what you can do. And what you can't do, the Bible says it's accepted of you if you have a willing mind to do it. Got to be willing to do whatever you can do, but some things I just can't do. Some of you can't teach a Bible Sunday school class or be a pastor or preach a sermon. But you can believe what's been taught in the sermons and what's been taught on the pages of the Bible, and you can live those things. Well, preacher, I'm just not a high spiritual person. I'm never going to be able to interpret dreams. Well, leave interpreting dreams alone and just read about the dreamers of the Bible. Just keep it down here and do what you can do and be faithful at it. I'd rather you do little and be faithful at it than do a lot and do it every third month.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's the best way to go. And so we'll leave it right there. And the result of that is grace be to you and peace from God our Father. You are a subject of grace. You're not a subject of worthiness. When God looks at you, he's not looking what you're worth because he's done replaced that with the worth of his Son. He's looking at you're an object of grace. And if you'll keep it that way, and keep that real in your mind and constant before your mind, I guarantee you, not only will your grace increase, but your peace will increase as well. Amen? And I believe there's a lot of you looking for peace in your life. Amen? You think you're going to find that peace by doing all this stuff, this high church stuff, super spiritual stuff. Well, just even it out. See how that works out. Grace and peace. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness, and I pray, oh God, that you would help these ladies forget about my cursing of their driving abilities and all such things as that, and help us, God, to remember the things that were said, God, spiritually, and help us, oh God, to remember that you didn't call us to solve all the problems of the world and solve all the problems of everybody in our neighborhood. But you gave us the gospel and you gave us the confines of the gospel. Help us to live in it and stay within those bounds and do what we can. And what we can do, help us to do it well. And then, Lord, I believe you'll give us more abilities as we grow, both in the Lord and in our age. And, Lord, I thank you, God, for what you'll do in each and every life. Thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for us and gave us the grace and peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you, O God, for what you do. Bless these, God, that have come out here tonight. Help them, strengthen them, have mercy on them, dear God. And I'll thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. And all you ladies get out first. I'm not going to walk out behind you.